Father, we pray you raise up prayer teams, prayer warriors. Father, people of prayer, help me lead us in prayer. Father, prayer meetings, prayer on our knees, prayer at our bedside, prayer in a closet, prayer alone, prayer with another, prayer with three, prayer on telephone, prayer at night, prayer in the morning, prayer for our kids, our grandkids, prayer for our country, prayer for pastors and churches, prayer, Father, we're in a wicked and evil time, we pray. Thank you. Prayer for our church, prayer for our lives, prayer in our temptations, prayer in our failures, prayer when we're weak, prayer when we sin, we would repent and confess it and walk in faith. Prayer, saturate our world with prayers, God, please, and answer them with angels coming from heaven. And Christ being seen on the earth, help us. Yes, Lord, bless this message tonight in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. Has anybody been watching the news lately? Has anybody been watching the news lately? Anybody noticed anything in our country that has changed in the last 20 years? A lot has changed. I have some statistics. Researcher in cultural analysis David Kinnaman concludes the highest good according to our society is finding yourself and then living by what's right for you. Even church members reflect this view. We wring our hands about secularism spreading through culture. Many church-going Christians have embraced corrupt, me-centered theology. The morality of self-fulfillment is everywhere, like the air we breathe. We are told that if something or someone stands in the way of my fulfillment, that obstacle must be removed. That person represents the enemy, the embodiment of evil. 71% of Americans now believe that divorce is morally acceptable. 68% of Americans now believe that sex between an unmarried man and unmarried woman is okay. 63% of Americans now believe that cohabitation, living together outside of marriage, is okay. 63% of Americans believe it is okay to enjoy sexual thoughts or fantasies about someone other than one's spouse. 63% of Americans believe that gay and lesbian relations are okay. 61% of Americans believe it is fine to have a baby out of wedlock. 69% euthanasia. Oh, I lost the other page. I didn't get that. You get the idea. We are in a moral decline. I think everybody understands and believes that. Increasing numbers of people live their lives based on the vile dictum, you can have your truth and I can have my truth. The pursuit of pleasure-seeking continues to escalate at the expense of righteousness. People will continue to manifest little or no concern for immoral living in the face of a future judgment. Heterosexual sin, premarital, extramarital, and porn-based fornication continues to escalate. Homosexual sin will continue to escalate, and same-sex marriages will continue to spread globally. there will continue to be relentless murders of the unborn. In the last days, these are difficult times. I don't think we need to say much about that. I think we all see it and recognize it in our society. That is not the primary part of my message, but this is. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 22, please. We have a very interesting story about a king. His name is Ahab. Ahab has murdered a man in 1 Kings 21, an innocent man who wanted his vineyard. Ahab organized the murder through his wife Jezebel, actually did, and the man was murdered. There was a prophet in the country, and his name was Elijah, 1 Kings 21 and verse 17. I'm kind of excited about preaching this message because I've spoken about it in the past. I don't know if I've preached it this way, but I think it embodies something interesting for us about our world, that our world is a world without God. For John 1, verse 10, we had a good high school class today, the seniors, and we did it also Monday night in the Bible college on John 17. Now, Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these. Jesus did not come into this world in order to, you know, save the world, but he came into the world to save people that are in the world, this one and that one and this one and that one. And he said to the Father, yours are mine and mine are yours. And I have manifested to them your name. They know you. They know your name. They know your character. They know you are righteous. They know you are true. But the world doesn't know. In Mark chapter 15, I read tonight in my study, when the soldiers gathered around Jesus, it said they gathered a great number of soldiers around Jesus. I never read that before. A great number of soldiers, and they were mocking him and bowing down and laughing. And I could feel how easy it would be for me not to recognize that this is the Christ. He looks foolish. He is weak, we are strong, we are powerful, and we can mock him. We can beat him, slap him, pull on his beard, make fun of him, ridicule him, and put him down so easily. The world we live in is a world of trouble and lying and deceit. It's a world where they can call good evil and evil good. It's a world like Ahab had. If I needed a vineyard, I could murder the man and go away and be happy about it. Except there's a day when Ahab has to answer to God. And God is in heaven and he's talking about Ahab to his court. This is in 1 Kings chapter 22. It's revealed by Micah the prophet, and he says, verse 19, he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Oh, I hope you can hear me. I'm going to slow way down because I think it takes a little time for us to get it, the Holy Spirit to teach us. We are in a world that is really wrong in many ways. It's right in some ways, but not in the most important way. It can be right in a small way of like survival and living and being good and so on, but it can't see God, know the ways of God, have the mind of God. It doesn't have the Spirit of God. It doesn't know God. So we crucify Christ. We mock him, ridicule him, make fun of him, laugh at him. It hasn't changed. But if we could pull back the curtain of heaven and see what God is doing with Ahab, what God is doing with Ahab. Ahab is there, you know, he's got his stuff. But what is God doing with Ahab? And this is it, verse 19. He said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left." Let's stop there. I don't know that. Can you read those words? I mean, can you see it? It's a staff meeting. That's what that is. Verse 19 is a staff meeting in heaven. That's what it is. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his on his right hand and on his left hand, and he's got a whole audience. What is the host of heaven but angels? But maybe there also were the spirits of just men made perfect. I don't know. That's not my point. My point is he had a group of intelligent creatures around him. And he's thinking about Ahab. And this is what he says, verse 20. The Lord said, "Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?" Let me draw a little picture of Israel here. There's the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea. Where's Ramoth Gilead? Where is Samaria? Where is Ahab's palace? His palace is somewhere here. We were at the ruins of it when we were in Israel. Where's Ramoth Gilead? It's over here somewhere. And God is saying, how can I get this guy to go over here? What would you answer if you were in God's staff meeting? What do you think? I would say, wait a minute. You are God. And you are powerful. And you can bring that this man, well, I don't know, it didn't go up there. You can bring this man to here. You know, you can bring, you know, somebody from Baltimore to Philadelphia. God is saying, how could I get, you know, Ed to go to New York? And we would say, you are God. You can do that. That's not hard. And then the story goes this way, verse 20. One said on this manner, another said on that man, on that matter. Could you put that verse up there for me? Verse 20. Okay, thank you. Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up to fall? One said on this man, another on that manner. That means they were open to talk in front of the throne of God. That means God, when he has a staff meeting, you can talk in the staff meeting. That means that God, that they're not afraid. That means that they feel they have the liberty and the freedom. And you, in a way, you can't be wrong. Somebody says that way, somebody says this way. There is a freedom in the throne of God. There's a freedom before God, the nature of God, the Spirit of God. That's beautiful. Do you see what we're saying here? This world, we could say the United States of America, is in moral trouble. And this world has something going on. And God is in heaven, and we could say God is in heaven talking about it. What shall I do with the United States? What should I do with? And he gets counsel. Why? Why does God get counsel? Because he loves people. He loves the angels. He loves freedom. He loves wisdom. He loves righteousness. It's beautiful. It's the way we should operate as an organization, as an organism. It's when, you know, your sons are not afraid to talk to you. Your daughters are not afraid to talk to you. It's when your wife is not afraid to talk to you. It's when you're not afraid to listen to others. It's when you have a security. You're not afraid. You don't shut people down. There's a freedom before the throne of God because it is a righteous throne. But some worm came up in the picture. It's in verse 21. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. There came forth a spirit and I will persuade him. Well, this is strange. Is that an angelic spirit? What spirit is it? Because the Spirit says in verse 22, the Lord said unto him, how or wherewith? He said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. I'll be a lying spirit. Well, we know that angels do not lie. We know that God does not lie. We know that God does not have fellowship with liars, that God hates lying in Psalm 101. We know that God loves righteousness and hates iniquity. So how could a lying spirit come before the throne of God? It's a good question. Was that meeting in this atmosphere, was that meeting, was a lying spirit allowed to go before the throne of God? We have no real definite answer to the question. We just know that God's ways include using evil tools for his purpose. How can I get, did we get the map? Yeah. Ahab to go over there. And this is before God. God is saying, how could I get him to go from point A to point B? And the answer is, the devil can do it. The devil can get him to go over there. And God is saying, how? And he said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of false prophets, or the mouths of the prophets. How many prophets? 400, we read. 400 prophets will have a lying spirit visit them. Lying spirit will be in their mouth. But will that lying spirit simultaneously be in the 400? Maybe we don't know the answer to that. What if the lying spirit goes to this man, immediately goes to another man goes, and Ahab has 400 prophets telling him to go to Ramoth-Gilead. 400. What is that all about? That's called the world. The world is lying to people every day. The world is misleading people every day. The world is speaking. Let's change the word prophets to radio stations. 400 radio stations. Let's change it to 400 university professors. And 400 university professors are saying things by a lying spirit that God is allowing this to happen with this man, Ahab. He is allowing it to happen in this world. He is allowing the world to be misled by evil. He is allowing demons to influence people in large numbers. Oh no, even in huge numbers in different parts of the world, if not everywhere in the world. 400 movies, 400 movie producers, 400 movie writers, 400 TV programs, 400, 400, 400. God will say, how could I get this man to go from here to there? I'll get it. I'll do it. And I have to ask the question in our country, where is this going and how much decline and how will it be working? And we will say there is a lot of energy in Sodom and Gomorrah. There is a lot of activity in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. But the story is fascinating because it's not over yet, this story. Because the Lord is saying, if I can get him there, I have an arrow with his name on it. I will shoot the arrow, but I need the devil to get him from here to there. So I will shoot, I will have a man, it says, at a venture, he just shoots the arrow like this, just fires it into the air, and that arrow has, in my words now, Ahab's name on it, for it's intended for him. And who did that? God did that. God did that. How did he get there? The devil did that. How did the devil do that? By lying and telling him, oh, you will come back as a hero. You go out, your victory is sure. You will return. But Ahab also had the benefit of, listen, follow this story with me, that Ahab had the benefit of a prophet of God. You know the story? Micah. And Micah was different. He didn't have a lying spirit. He was like you and me in this world. Micah was different. Micah had a fellowship. Micah had a word. Micah said something that the 400 radio stations are not saying. And the 400 movies and the 400 this and the 400 that, they are all saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing. But not us. When Jesus came, he was killed. They hated him. John 17, the world hates me. No, they hated him. Now, it wasn't like they just didn't like him. He was a little bit awkward or socially. No, they hated him. They murdered him. They hated him. Wow. I don't know. I'm just concerned about this, and I love it. I feel the world has taught all of us. The world teaches us. The world teaches us. He's taught all of us. What does the world teach you? I can do it. I'm good. I leave everybody alone. World, you know, don't worry about it. I mean, you don't need God. God is everywhere. Everybody, you know, like whatever you believe, the world is teaching and teaching and teaching. But there is a spirit that we have, and the Holy Spirit tells us the truth. And it's sometimes incredible. When you think about it, when that truth hits you in your heart, in your spirit, it has different effects on you. You just start to say in your heart, you become a worshiper. You become a worshiper of God. And truth becomes important to you. And I want the truth. And I somehow become like I know what the world is saying and, you know, whatever they say and however that works, I know about it. But my big concern in our fellowship is that brothers, I see sometimes You remember hanging up the phone, Eric, you know that story. And then I see other people that have a similar struggle. And they want to be here. They want to grow. They want to be on fire. It's like, if I could be on fire, I just want to be on fire for God. How can that happen? How could I be on fire for God? I don't want to wrestle with my temptation. I don't want to wrestle with my flesh. I don't want to fall away from my faith. I want to prove it. I want to find it. I want to know it. I want to experience it. I want the Holy Spirit to make it clear to me. And there's many ways we address the issue. I remember a 28-year-old man in Lenox. I remember he loved Pastor Stevens. This is about way a long time ago, in the 80s. And I met him. I was talking with him. He'd drink for 3 months, like solid drinking, a binge drinker. 3 months, totally out, gone. He'd sober up, go through withdrawals, shaking, sweating, everything, come back to the church, sit, want God, love God, find God, wanted God, and he would do it for some months, 3 months, 6 months, and then he'd go back again, and he's gone for 3 months. Hard drinking. He died. He's 28 years old when he died. He died. Alcohol poisoning. Gone. How many have I seen? I have seen too many. How many overdoses have I seen? I have seen too many. I can give you names. How many people have been in and out? How many have I seen? Too many. What can I do? What can we do? What can we do? I don't know. We're here tonight. That's crazy. In the world, you went to church on Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night. Sunday, you go to church on Sunday twice, three times. What, are you out of your mind? Yeah, hopefully I am. No, I don't know. I'm serious about it. I believe we are the people that are able to say something about this life, and I do not apologize at all about the world and what they are saying and how I disagree with them. Get used to it. I'm different. I'm like an Amish person. I live on a farm. I don't use electricity. I'm a different person. I have a horse and buggy. I'm an Amish person, okay? Get that in your head. I am not like you. I am different. I am not like you. I am different. I am not following the 400 false, the 400 lying prophets that are running the whole country. And Ahab goes there and goes, God says, okay, thank you very much. Now it's my part. And the prophet said, Elijah said to Ahab, dogs will lick your blood, right? He got a mortal wound, blood runs in a chariot. They take the horse and chariot and they wash it in the pool, and the dogs are drinking the water out of the pool, just like the prophet said would happen. I believe there is a judgment that's coming upon our country, honestly. I believe there's a judgment that comes upon evil and wickedness. I believe that God is very patient. I believe that God has an arrow prepared for somebody. And by the way, it's not a joke. It's a reality that there's something that could happen, and that what the greatest thing could happen to Ahab would be to fear God and not listen to the 400, but listen to this one preacher over here. Yeah, it says, turn and you will be healed. Turn and you will be saved. Turn and you will be filled with the Spirit. Turn and believe and you will be changed. Turn and you'll get hunger for God. Turn and you will believe. Turn and you will change. Yeah, that's it. Let's finish reading the verses. It says, the Lord said, how will it happen? I'll be a lying spirit, verse 22. the mouth of all his prophets. He said, you shall persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. He was resisted by a man by the name of Zedekiah in verse 24. And then you go up to, he's afraid it might be true. He puts on the common clothes. But there is an arrow, verse 34, chapter 22, verse 34. A certain man drew a bow at a venture. Not even aiming. Smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver, turn your hand, carry me out of the host, I am wounded. The battle increased, and the king was stayed up in his chariot and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. There went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, every man to his city, every man to his own country. So the king died, was brought to Samaria, they buried the king. One washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. The dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. You know, it's an amazing story. Yeah, I have a burden on my heart for the lying that is happening in our culture. The foolish lying. And there are false apostles, there's another gospel, there's another synagogue, the synagogue of Satan, there's another way of thinking, there's another set of values that people have. It's all about me, and it's about my life and my way and everything, and it's all just kind of flowing in that direction. But you got to be prepared to be different more than ever before. I'm different. One time, some years ago in Finland, one of our ladies worked in a lawyer's office, and the lawyers asked her on happy hour, come on out with us, happy hour. She said, no, I'm going to the church. You're going to the church on Friday night? Yeah, I'm going to the church on Friday night. I'm different. I talk different. I think differently. Have you ever had it happen when you're having a talk, somebody hears what you say and they say, how did you learn that? I learned it at my church. How do you know? How did you become? I went to the Bible school. Wait, what kind of people are you hanging? I got friends. I got a Bible that speaks to me. I'm like a regular guy like everybody. I can do the sports, and I can do chess, and I can read the literature and be part of, I'm in this world, but I got an edge. I got something more going on. I'm not the smartest, sharpest a knife in the drawer. No, I'm not such a smart guy, but I got something that Jesus Christ said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness. Righteousness. If Ahab thought of righteousness, he wouldn't have died. He would have never gone over there. He would have heard the man of God say, don't go. You're going to die. But he couldn't hear because he wasn't seeking righteousness. You seek righteousness now. That's your new life. You're seeking it and you're finding it. And it's protecting you. Psalm 36, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. The righteousness of God, that's what we found. I might get hurt, but God will bless me. I might lose something, but I'll get something from God. It's a testimony to the angels. Look at my people. They are righteous. They follow righteousness. They seek righteousness. And I am honoring them and blessing them. Angels are coming and going upon those that fear God and respect him and do his will. Wow. That's a beautiful thing. But you know what? I remember I said something in the pulpit here about homosexuality or something. I met somebody at the door, this young person. Oh, I can't believe it. What? I can't believe it. I have friends that are homosexual. I can't believe it, and so on. I go, okay, calm down. Listen, we love people. We're here, you know, calm down. No, she had no capacity. I am concerned. There's a falling away in the church, falling away of truth, falling away, and we are falling victims to the lies that are in our culture and the lies that are in our society. And no, even the lies that are in our hearts. There's a huge direction. And I'm just saying this to say, I appreciate when God visits us. I appreciate when God speaks to us. I appreciate when God leads us. I appreciate how long we can live, maybe, because of God. How powerful we can be in our mission because of God. How much prayer is answered because of God. How much help we'll get in our life because of God. I'll tell you. God respects people that make those decisions. I say 400 people are saying like this, but I'm not hearing them. I got something else. Thank you, Lord, and help me. Turn away from your stuff. Turn away from your flesh. Turn away from your bad habits. Make a decision in your heart tonight and say with all your heart, oh, God, lead me and guide me. I know you don't have an arrow with my name on it. I know that you're not going to do anything. You're going to protect me from evil, and you're going to lead me and guide me. And when it is my time, when it is my time, God's way, then I will find that valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We don't die like the wicked. We die like the righteous. We don't die like people in rebellion. We die in humility and submission to Almighty God, and there is dying grace for the believer. Grace that saves them, grace that keeps them, grace that he grows in, and grace that he dies in. Isn't that good? Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we pray that these are thoughts that will provoke our thinking, our meditation, our conviction. We pray for our country, for the salt to be salty, for the light to be bright, for our testimony to be real, that we don't laugh at the dirty jokes like the world does. We have another sense of humor. We have an amazing sense of humor because God has given us joy at his right hand. We don't look at wicked and evil things. We are not into pornography by God's grace. We turn it off or shut it down. Don't even think about it. Don't even go there. We don't entertain the whole thing of temptation by putting it close to us or putting fire in our bosom. We will be burned if we put fire in our bosom. But we get rid of it. Thank you, God. And lead us in Jesus' name. And anyone here tonight, you don't have Jesus yet in your life, please come to Jesus tonight and say to Jesus, I need you. Please save me. Forgive me of my sins. Give me eternal life. Come into my heart. You are my Savior. And I accept you personally. In Jesus' name. I pray. Anyone, raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone here tonight, raise your hand. Yes, to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, we pray, Father, for more and more and good things happening in every way. And teach us this doctrine tonight and help us understand it. Jesus, thank you. Amen.